Morning.
If you have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to John chapter 3. I'm just going to read from one verse, not the very famous verse, which is verse 16, but the not so well-known verse, verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. In this masterpiece, and I don't know if you're a member of a book club, and some people are sometimes members of a book club, and they love to discuss books every week, but have you noticed just how skillfully this has been put together? We have the story of Nicodemus going at night to meet Jesus. He's going at night because he's not wanting to be seen. He's one of the teachers of Israel, a member of the Sanhedrin. And throughout his conversation with Jesus, he's profoundly challenged. He doesn't understand, but he's interested enough to keep seeking. And perhaps that's where you are this morning, that you've not wanted people to know that you're coming to church. Or maybe you've started coming on the Alpha course and you're not quite ready to tell your friends yet. And you don't really understand it all. But you've heard enough that you would want to keep seeking. Well, at the end of John's gospel, Nicodemus is still in the dark, because Jesus has been crucified, and Joseph of Arimathea has come to take Jesus' body from Pilate and to bury it. And in the dark, who is with him but Nicodemus? In the middle of John's gospel, these 70 or so rulers of Israel are talking about how to get rid of Jesus. And one man stands up and he says he needs a fair trial. If you're going to condemn a man, you better do it on the evidence. Because he doesn't understand everything, but he's heard enough to keep seeking. And when he stood up and said, "We need evidence before we lay charges against Jesus of Nazareth," he's no longer having a private belief. It's becoming a bit more public. His colleagues are thinking, "Are you siding with Jesus now?" And he probably didn't have the courage at that point to tell them really where he was. Do you have the courage this morning to tell your friends and your family, your neighbors, where you stand on these issues? Have you heard enough to put your trust that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that you may not perish but have eternal life? Have you heard enough to put your faith in him? Or are you still trying to work it out? Well, keep seeking, keep looking with me at this passage. See, Angus last week preached such a good sermon. And he said that Nicodemus had honesty. Nicodemus had courage. Nicodemus had humility. And I don't know how that impacted you. And I felt sure it impacted some of you, that some of you were listening last week and were thinking, "Well, that's me. I can identify myself there, but I don't quite have the courage yet to stand up and say, I'm a believer." There's three people that are going to stand up here on the 17th of March and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior," and they're going to be baptized. And there's another few people that have asked for baptism quite soon after that. I think God is doing something in our fellowship in stirring people to move from a private belief to a public belief. And as I was listening last week, I was remembering the turning point for me was when my flatmates were mocking Jesus and were mocking Christians. And I said, Jesus is sinless. Jesus is pure. Jesus is really special. And my flatmates said, are you a Christian? And I said, no, I'm not. But I was. I was just too scared to tell anyone. And it wasn't long after that that I was baptized. But after I was baptized and after I started to follow Jesus, that didn't mean that everything was plain sailing. I was working for my first job. I was on placement with a computer company called NCR. And I was in marketing. And we used to sell these computers. And at the end of the year, I thought, going back to college, I could really do with one of these new things called a personal computer. 1989, it was about that size. When I used to come home to Inverness, I used to have my father's sort of national service trunk, which was that big, and the processor would go in there. I'd have the screen on top and the keyboard, and I was like this on the train. It was just this massive, great big thing. Now it's on our phones. Incredible. Shows how old I am. I thought, it'd be great to have this computer. And the boss said, yeah, you've done a good job. Yeah, sign that off. 200 quid. Got this great computer. I'm going home really chuffed. And I noticed it's full of software. Loads and loads of software. Graphics, packages, spreadsheets, word processing. It's all there. Fantastic. And then I just had this little thought in my heart, which said, but that would be stealing. Because you don't work for the company anymore. And it's the company that owns the license, and you don't work for the company anymore. Oh, never mind. Carry on. But that would be stealing. And after a couple of weeks, I'm basically go to church in the morning. I'm going out for lunch. I'm having a walk with a chap who's like a wise friend. I was talking to him, saying, so I've got this computer and got the software, and that's fine, isn't it? Because Bill Gates is not bothered about little students like me. He's interested in all the big guys. And my wise friend said, wouldn't that be like stealing? And so I went back to church that evening. Obviously, my card is marked now. But it hasn't quite led to action. Have you ever been in that situation where you know you're in the wrong, but you haven't quite put it right yet? But I couldn't because I was going to church. I was religious. Didn't have time to put my sins right there and then. I was going to church. So that was nice and safe. And I got in and I sat down. And this free church minister came to this Baptist church. Oh, that's interesting. I've recognized him. Opens the Bible. Before he says anything, teach me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. That was my favorite verse. I used to sing it, the metrical psalms as a child. I used to pray it, show me your truth, show me your way. I think the Holy Spirit was saying, well, I have been for 2 weeks and you're not listening. He wouldn't have said it like that. So I went home and I deleted all the software off the computer. And all I had was this MS-DOS prompt. Beep, 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 beep. And it was so naked. And started saving up for some software. But that's what John is saying here. He says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And Nicodemus came into the light. Took him a long time, but he got there. He came into the light, became a follower of Jesus. How do we know what the truth is? Apparently, we live in a post-truth environment, an environment where we can't be certain what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. For example, how many people attended Donald Trump's inauguration? Donald Trump thought there was a lot more people there than the press thought was there. And he was still digging a few weeks later. Very different from one of the founding fathers, John Adams, who, defending a British soldier in Boston, then he eventually went on to become Vice President of the United States and then the President, he said, "Facts are a stubborn thing. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes or inclinations or the dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence." So, in the middle of Brexit confusion, different politicians are standing up and giving their version of reality. But on what basis are they guiding us? Do we send 350 million a week to the EU or don't we? We're just not sure anymore, are we? Miley Cyrus, describing herself as a pansexual person, she says, "Having sexual relationships with men and women is fine because gender is irrelevant to relationships." All religions, people say, are equally true. But Islam says that Jesus did not die on a cross. And Christianity says Jesus died on a cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son on the cross, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But these two religions have diametrically opposed views of the facts. Can 2 + 2 = 4 and also 8 at the same time? If it feels true in your heart, is it still true? For decades, the universities have been teaching that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Or in the words of the Manic Street Preachers, "This is my truth, tell me yours." So how do we know what truth is? Well, it needs to come from an absolute. And as we look at the world around us, as we look at the mountains and the rivers, and we look at a newborn baby, we know that there is a designer. We know that someone has made us. We know that there is a reality called God. He is the absolute. All the standards come from him. He has a viewpoint which we need to listen to, which we need to follow. And if we break God's law, we break ourselves. That's a huge truth. When you look at all the pain and the suffering in the world today, God often gets the blame. When you look at the pain and suffering in your own life and in my life, do we blame God, or have we broken God's law and broken ourselves at the same time? You see, there is an absolute, which is God. And God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Isn't that wonderful? God became man. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only God who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We love the grace, don't we? Come on, Alistair. Let's hear about the grace this morning. What about the truth? How about if I was to tell you that he's not only a God of grace, but he's a holy God who has standards? And because he doesn't want us to be broken people, he wants us to live beautiful lives. He gives us guidance. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Thy paths, O teach thou me. Is that your prayer this morning? Or is it, Lord, I'm not sure I'm ready for you to teach me quite yet. Don't shine your light too brightly on my life, because I'm not ready for that kind of change. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, are you ready for a fresh start, for a new beginning? Nicodemus, are you prepared to say that psalm that you sung? Because I'm quite sure that Nicodemus also sang that psalm. Teach me thy ways, O God. Imagine that. You're praying, Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your truth. And then truth itself is standing in front of you. Jesus Christ is standing in front of you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate says, what is truth? Truth is a person. Truth is God embodied in Jesus Christ. In all his goodness, in all his justice, in all his love. And sometimes I'm in debates about moral issues, moral mazes. Have you been in that situation recently, speaking to work colleagues, friends, and you're becoming quite unpopular through what you're saying? What you're saying is so different to what everyone else is saying today. And people are going, you are from the dark ages with that kind of viewpoint. I said, well, it's not my opinion. My barometer by which I measure truth is Jesus Christ and his word. I may have to suffer for it. I may be ridiculed for it. But I'm not giving you my emotional reaction. I'm giving you what God has said in his word. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So do you know the truth of Jesus? Do you want to be set free this morning? If you want to be set free this morning, you have to know the God of truth as well as the God of grace. You have to welcome him to come close to you, to look into your heart. And you need to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any wicked way within me, and lead me in the way of truth. But if you're not prepared to do that, you will not be free. You will have your autonomy. You will have your independence. For 70 years, or maybe a little longer, you can do it your own way. But one day you will stand before him like Nicodemus did. One day you will stand before him like Pilate did. and the truth will be looking straight at you. And the grace will be looking straight at you. And the one question is, what did you do with Jesus? Did you accept him? Did you appreciate what he came to do for you? Did you love him? Did you put your faith in him? Or did you reject him and ignore him? Because the truth has been made known. But sometimes we want to suppress the truth. But God has made his truth known to you. He's revealed his Son to you. He's revealed in Jesus that we have hearts which are not right. We have hearts which are full of anger and lust and lies and dishonesty and hypocrisy. And it's these sinful attitudes, sinful thoughts, that we need to come into reality and say, yes, I know it's true. I am a sinner. I know I've been ignoring you, God. And I know you're there. And I don't want to wait any longer. I want to get in line with that reality today. So I admit that I am a sinner. Of course, I must tell you that Jesus is revealing not only the grace of God, but the wrath of God. When he was on this earth, he said, I did not come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. But he also said that he would judge the world one day. And it says in Romans 2:16 that God will judge the secrets of our hearts by Christ Jesus. This is the gospel. This is the good news, that the earth will be brought into alignment with God's holiness and justice. That's good news, folks. That means no more child abuse, no more murder, no more greed. Because God is coming in judgment, and it's Jesus that's going to be doing the judging. But even while we wait for Jesus to return, we know that as we work out the consequences of our independence, as individuals and as a society, we will wreak havoc. And that is called the wrath of God, which has been worked out in our present day. And every one of us will face death. Every one of us will face judgment. You know, some of you might be listening to me just now saying, this is a bit depressing, Alistair. Can you give us something a bit lighter? Well, you know, one of my greatest fears as a preacher, and I've thought about this recently, is that I might see you on the day of judgment. Do you know when Jesus was being tried, and he said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And then Peter denies Jesus three times, and he looks straight at Jesus. And Jesus says, I told you. And one of my great fears is that you would look to me on the day of judgment and say, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me about this. You didn't tell me. So I want to be a preacher of the truth. And I want to tell you that there's a day coming where we all have to give an account. And that life is short. My brother was killed instantly in a road accident. I know that we cannot guarantee the next day. But hear the words of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be cut off, but will have everlasting life. This is the truth, that God loves you, that God knows everything about you, and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Do you get it? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. How do we know that that's true? Because he gave the best thing he had to save you. He gave his only precious Son to go through the agony of crucifixion, the humiliation of crucifixion, to take the consequences of my sin and your sin and all the world's sin on himself, because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. That if you would appreciate what he has done for you, and that you would accept his gift of forgiveness and of new life, you will be transformed. You will be transformed. You will come not to condemnation, but you will come to the not guilty verdict. You will be looked at by God as if you have never sinned at all, because Jesus has paid for all of your sins. Death, which comes as a result of our sin, will not be yours. You will live forever. And you will not be cut off from God. You will be in close fellowship with him forever. There's no middle ground, folks. You're either spiritually dead or you're spiritually alive. You're either living in darkness or you're living in light. You're either living under condemnation or you are not guilty. You're either influenced by the devil or you're influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no middle ground. So where are you today? I want you today, as you leave this place, to know that God is for you, he loves you, but he's against your selfishness. That God loves you and he's for you, he's against your independence. He loves you and he's for you, but he's against your ingratitude. And he calls us all to change. And he shines the light of his truth in today. It was Van Morrison that said, "Whenever God shines his light on me, he opens up my eyes so I can see. And when I look up in the darkest night, I know that everything's going to be all right. In deep confusion and great despair, when I reach out for him, he is there. And when I'm as lonely as I can be, I know that God shines his light on me. Reach out for him, he'll be there. And he's here there waiting for you today. And to come to him, you have to confess your independence. Confess your ingratitude. Confess your sin. And thank him for dying on the cross for you. And he will accept you straight away. And you will be with him forever. So shall we pray? Father God, we want to come before you and confess our independence. and confess our selfishness and confess our ingratitude for all that you have done for us. You created us. You've given us a beautiful world and a beautiful life. And we've not allowed you in. And we know your light is shining, and we say, Lord, shine the light of your truth in today and show me my heart. And I admit that I'm a sinner in need of your grace. Come and rescue me. Come and lift me up. I turn away from everything I know to be wrong. And I am going to say thank you. I've not said thank you enough, but I'm saying thank you now. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for me. I can't imagine how hard that was for you. And I'm only just taking it in that you did it for me, that you loved me that much. Thank you. I believe you died for me. I accept your gift of forgiveness. Come and transform me. Come into my life today by your Holy Spirit and guide me into all truth. Help me to live in the light and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.